The cost of following. Luke 14, 25 to 35 is our text today. And wow, we got a big one to start out the fall here. So last week, we heard that Jesus was at a meal. He taught about humility, not seeking honor, and finding that those that are humble will be exalted by God. In particular, we find them exalted in God's kingdom as opposed to here on earth. During that same meal, there was some talk about the feast in God's kingdom. And Jesus pointed out that many would be invited, and many of those that are invited would not come. They would choose not to come to be a part of that feast, but the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame would be welcomed in to God's kingdom and to the feast in His kingdom. Those who think of themselves highly will be outside of the banquet, but those who are humble and acknowledge their true position will be welcomed. Today we're looking at being in God's kingdom from a little bit different angle. We're looking at being a disciple of Jesus, which really is just another way of saying being a follower of Him, being a Christian, being saved. It's a different way of talking about that same thing. So it really applies to anybody who would be a part of God's family, in part of His kingdom. People want to be a part of God's kingdom, part of the kingdom of God, and that's a really good thing. Well, it's a great place to be. In fact, it's the only good place to be. And so, but we might ask the question, what does that mean? And so Jesus gets into a little bit of that in our text today. And he's traveling with a large group of people. Maybe a lot of them might have been following Him. Also, He was likely now at this time on His way up to Jerusalem. And so there were others who would have been traveling to go there and kind of gathering together as they're traveling together for one of the festivals in Jerusalem. So that's where He's walking along with them, and He starts to teach and teach them about following Him. Our text is Luke 14, 25 to 35. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Luke 14, 25 to 35, reading in Jesus' name. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or, suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word to us. Thank You for, though it is maybe a little bit difficult to understand and to know exactly what it is that Jesus was talking about here in this particular conversation, we ask that You would guide us to hear what You have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to be seated, and I would like to invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front to come up at this time. You can come up to the front rows here. Anybody interested? Come on up. All right. Any other kids want to come up? Why is this coming up? Okay. All right. All right, find a spot up here. Okay, we got a few more spots over here, too. A few more. Okay. Another one. All right, we got another couple coming up. Okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you guys, do you ever build anything or make anything? Yeah? What kinds of things do you build?
Planes.
Planes? What do you build planes out of? What do you make them out of?
Legos,
okay, that's a pretty common one, right? Planes, and what else?
Tanks.
Tanks, yeah?
Yeah, I play with army men.
Oh, army men too. What about you? Do you build anything? What do you build? So you want it, so you saw somebody building a Lego plane and you wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Did it work?
Yeah. So I made some pieces from one of my planes that
were. Oh, okay. So you used pieces from a different set and put that together to make it. Nice. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else do any building of any type?
Me.
You do? What do you build? Oh, okay. So she didn't finish them and you finished them for her. That's how. Oh, good. All right. All right. Anything else? Anything other than Legos that people used to build sometimes? Anything else? Maybe some of you have had some Lincoln Logs or something. What else? All right. Yeah, wood bricks. Yeah, stacking those up. Yeah. What else? One more thing. What's that? Oh, Jenga blocks. You can use those and build with those, right? And Lincoln Logs. Have you ever started building something, like especially with Legos, and then you start building and you realize, wait a second, I don't think I have all the pieces that I need to build this thing. Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
You go through? Yeah. Have you had that happen before? Did it? You lost some of the pieces, so you couldn't put it together anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't find it, huh? And then it's just there unfinished, right? Oh, yeah. It's just, is it a special one just for that set? You kind of need that piece for it? Yeah, so that, it's kind of sad when you don't get to finish it because you're missing one of the pieces, right? Jesus is talking in our text today. We heard him talking about building something, an example of building something. Yeah, he made this world, didn't he? Yeah. Well, he's talking about us following him and how that is, there's a sense of kind of like building something is what it's like, or doing something, some other activity that it needs something to be put into it. And we need to think about, do we have enough to put into it? Or what does it take to follow him? So that's what he's asking us to think about. So I have for you these sheets here. I will give you some there. Can you hand those out? All right, I'll give you those. Thank you for coming up to the front, and maybe there are a few you can see. Maybe there's somebody else that's back there that might want one of those if you have extra. Do you guys have a few extra? Yep. All right, go ahead and back to your seats now. You got them. Yep. All right, thanks for coming up. Thanks for coming up, guys. All right. And just a reminder, you got something to color on there, and then you also have some words that you can listen for and see how many times I say those words. So if you want to keep track of that. Well, like I said, what a text here, huh? You know, people were around Jesus as he was traveling, as he was doing things, as he was teaching. Like I said, some of the people around him in today's text might have been there because they were going up to Jerusalem for a festival as well. It may not have been particularly because of Jesus, but many of them would also just follow along with him. He was teaching wonderful things. He was healing people. They wanted to be there. They wanted what they saw in who Jesus was and what he was doing. And we've heard, and we hear many times, and rightly so, that Jesus welcomes anyone, and that's great. He does. And it's true, and that's easy to say. It's easy to say Jesus follows anyone, welcomes anyone, and it's great. It's great to be able to say that. It's a little bit harder to say what Jesus says in our text today, which is following him costs something. Following him costs. A few weeks ago, we heard Jesus talking about having come to spread fire, and that yes, he comes for peace, but before peace, there will be division. And he even talked about division among families, as some might receive the message he has and others might reject it. And that might even cause division before peace. And we hear some kind of seemingly harsh words in what Jesus says in today's text as we read it. Three times we hear Jesus say, "Such a person cannot be my disciple." Wow, that's pretty hard, isn't it? Such a person cannot be my disciple. The first one is maybe the hardest one to hear even. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life. Family relationships he's getting to here, father and mother, wife, the closest relationships that we have. And even a person's own life, which is, of course, you know, for most of us, that's, you know, just naturally the most important thing to us, even if we maybe should be concerned about others for more or first. We're concerned about ourselves. And he uses the word hate, such a strong word. Does it mean what maybe comes to mind as we first hear that word, hate, as Jesus is saying it? Well, we also hear Jesus reiterating the command to honor your father and mother. Jesus repeats that. So, not hate in the sense of, you know, keep them away from you, don't have anything to do with them. Not hate in that sense. Now, it's easy to say, on the other hand, that Jesus is just saying that priority needs to go to him as opposed to these other relationships. And that's true. That's true. That's really what he's getting at. That the priority is with him as opposed to the other relationships that we have in life or the things that we have even for ourselves. It's easy to say that, and it's true, but we have to pause a second and not just let what Jesus is getting at go by too quickly by saying that that's what he means. Consider that he did use the word hate. And I think that might help us to pause and reflect. The priority goes to God. We know that as we read this. We might say, yes, God needs to be the priority in our lives. But then it's easy to defend ourselves with kind of a lighthearted following and say, well, as long as I, you know, think about him, as long as I think about God, that's enough. Whereas what he's really getting at is something that impacts most of our lives, as opposed to simply living out our lives and then occasionally thinking, oh, I should be thinking about God in this. On the other hand, what would life look like if each choice and each action, each activity, each relationship that we are in, it was preceded by the question, does this serve God? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a conscious question every time we make a choice. I don't think we need to say, am I going to get the cheeseburger or am I going to get the chicken sandwich? Well, which one is going to please God? You know, of course, not every decision is going to fit within that. But as a habit, as a way that we look at our lives and what we do in our lives, what will please God? Jesus continues on and he says, the second time he says, talks about cannot be my disciple. He says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So this is the second time he says that. And this, it's important to point out that this is not just hardship in our lives that he's talking about. It's hardship in particular related to God's word and following him. And we might ask the question, if it doesn't come up, how much are we following him? Remember, the cross was a symbol of execution of the worst criminals for the Romans. It's the way that Jesus was executed. And so as we think about a cross, we think about not just, you know, hardship in our life, which there are many hardships that come in our lives. That's true. It's not just that. It's really hardship connected with God and following him. As Jesus is doing this, he gives some examples of weighing the cost of following him. And it's important to note that as we do this, the point that he's getting at is not a point of good stewardship of resources. It's not a point of good preparation, although both of those things are very important. There's something else that he's getting at. He's getting at both the cost and the value of following him. And he looks at it from two different perspectives. The first, and the one that I mentioned to the kids as they were up here, was the cost of building a tower. Now, in that setting, maybe this was a tower that was meant to serve kind of as a perspective of guarding an orchard or something like that as a means of security. So you put in a fence, you put in a tower so that you can observe and be secure. It might have been something like that. And so he's saying if somebody was going to do that, they're going to sit down and they're going to estimate the cost. What is this going to cost me? Am I going to have enough money to finish? If you get the foundation done only and then you're stuck, others may ridicule. Oh, yeah, look at that guy. He can't finish anything. He started the tower. but he couldn't finish. Well, the tower here, I don't think Jesus just chose these examples to give a picture of counting a cost, but there are two different pictures that help us and see something more. And in this particular case, in the tower, we see something good, something positive, something with value. It will help him to protect, you know, his orchard. That could be the reason for a tower. We could think most of the time a tower is for a reason of defense, but it's something with value that's being constructed. And as we hear this example, we might note that the kingdom of God has value like a tower. He's not just building a little shack just to put up something light. This man isn't in the example. But something that has a real purpose and a real value. It's related to real life. Life in the kingdom of God has value like this tower. High cost, but high value. Risk of family relationships, maybe, possibly, but maybe worth it if it's needed. Now, it's important to note that Jesus, using this example, is not saying, well, weigh the cost of being my disciple, and if you don't find you can do it, then don't do it. That's not what he's saying. He wants us to weigh the cost and realize it's worth it, but it's going to cost. Count the cost. The second example that Jesus gives is a king going to war and sitting down and considering, are we going to be able to win this war? With 10,000 people, are we going to be able to defend ourselves against the army of 20,000? If not, make peace. Now, this is a good example, this idea of going to war, because we think of, on the other side of the tower representing the good of the kingdom of God, here we have represented spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle in this life. There really, in this case, isn't an option for peace, though. There's either victory or defeat. That's the only option. Is it worth it? We might ask. As we think about the cost of doing spiritual battle, is victory over sin, death, and the devil worth it? Yes. Yes, it is worth it. It's a high value. Also a high cost. As we think about the cost of following Jesus, we're talking about very deep things here. We're talking about the thoughts in our lives. We're talking about attitudes. We're talking about this world and the spiritual forces that are against us. And realizing that the cost is more than just living a moral life, providing for our daily needs and enjoying what life has to offer and kind of staying out of the fray, you know, not causing trouble in this life. It's more than just that. Jesus a third time says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. It's more than just our possessions, of course. It's our lives and our activities as well. We might think of the example of missionaries who go to other countries and how they give up many, many things that they would have if they were living here. And there's a lot of struggle that comes with that. Is it worth it? Is the kingdom of God worth it for them to go and share about Jesus in other parts of the world? I would say yes. Now, not everyone is a missionary called to go to some other part of the world. But as Jesus is talking to these people, we recognize that everyone is called and invited by him to be a follower, to be his follower. And therefore, in a sense, to give up everything. Instead of living a comfortable, good life, are we willing to give it up? Instead of entertainment or accomplishment, are we willing to give it up? We might see news reports of violence, of people actively rejecting the good news of Jesus for something else. We might see the difficulties involved in reaching people and sharing the good news of Jesus with them. People who don't have that message, some of them far away, some of them nearby. We might see the difficulties of focusing our life around serving others as opposed to serving ourselves. Are we willing to enter into that? Are we willing to leave our security, our good moral life, hopefully? Are we willing to leave that or leave our reliance on our good life to enter danger, to enter difficulty, to risk even the cross? Probably not. Probably not. We probably won't face execution for our faith in this life. Maybe. Maybe some might. Are we willing to risk that, though? Risk all of those good things, giving up those good things, for something excellent that God in God's kingdom. Salt is good, Jesus continues with. Wait a second. You might be asking, salt is good. What does that have to do with anything? Why did you go there? Salt is good. I thought we were talking about building something or fighting a war. Salt is good. What does that have to do with it? Seems disconnected, but maybe not. Salt is used to preserve or to flavor something. Salt, as we're looking at it here, is connected to what Jesus has been saying, because it's the life of a follower of Jesus is salt that flavors and preserves in this world. But Jesus says, if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, some people looking at this will say, well, he's talking about, maybe he's picturing something that's not pure salt. It's kind of salt mixed with other things. And maybe the salt, you know, it kind of loses its saltiness by losing the salt part of it. And all you're left with is the other impurities that were mixed in with it. Well, that could be. It could also be very well be that he's really picturing salt and picturing the impossibility of salt losing its saltiness. How does salt become unsalty? Well, it's not salt anymore if it does that, right? And that's kind of what he's picturing. It's not salt. It's really almost impossible. But he says the life of following him without these characteristics of following him is really not a life of following him. It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. And certainly that's not where we want to be. And he says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And so he's just saying, pay attention. Pay attention to this. Now, like I said, this is quite the text to start off our fall in our 9:30. Did I get up a half hour earlier just for this? I mean, this is tough. Whew. It is. Feels a lot like law. If we're thinking about law and the things that are convicting to us in our life, this is very heavy. Because I think we can acknowledge that if any of us goes away from here saying, I'm following Jesus pretty well. I think any one of us, if we walked away from that here saying that, I think we'd probably be lying to ourselves. I think every one of us can probably say, yeah, you know, I'm not doing that very well. I certainly can say that. So what do we get out of this? What is it just, convicting to help us do something different, to try harder? Well, let's think back to that army and the example God used of that, of trying to defeat an army of 20,000 people with half the force. Weigh the cost. Well, we might find that the cost is too high, that we don't have the resources to get that done. We might not be able to do it. As we think about what Jesus is calling us to, give up everything, serve God with every part of our lives, as I said, none of us is doing that perfectly. Can we do it? And the reality is, we can't. We can't do it. We can't do it by ourselves, certainly. We have to come to God, and I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. That the ability to follow Jesus really, truly depends on God working in our lives. And he does that as we reflect and receive what he has given for us. Because he has given so much more for us. He supplies where we lack, but in reality we lack everything to be able to follow him. And so he supplies everything. In a few minutes we're going to celebrate communion together, and that is part of that supplying us with what he has given to us. As we reflect on that then, we ask him for wisdom to show each one of us where we fall short of following him. And then to turn to him and ask him for his power, for his ability to follow, to trust, for his presence and for his blessing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for even this difficult word of what you're calling us to follow you, to follow Jesus. The cost is high. We know that on our own we can't pay it. We can't do it. And yet we know the value is there. The value of being in the kingdom of God. The value of victory over the forces of evil. And so we ask that you would forgive us where we don't follow. Show us where you would have us change. And give us the hearts and minds and wills to follow you with our lives. To serve you in every part of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.